Today, on the second Sunday of Advent, the epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, whatever things have been written for our instruction, that through the patience and the consolation afforded by the Scriptures, we may have hope. May then the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind towards one another according to Jesus Christ, that one in spirit you may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive one another, even as Christ has received you, to the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus has been a minister of the circumcision in order to show God's fidelity in confirming the promises made to our fathers, but that the Gentiles glorify God because of his mercy, as it is written, Therefore will I praise thee among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name. And again he says, Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing his praises, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, There shall be the root of Jesse, and he who shall arise to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Ghost. Please rise for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, when John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to say to him, Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus, answering, said to them, Go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. But as these were going, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall make ready thy way before thee. Thus far the words of this Sunday's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Ave Maria Purissima. So it is a great joy to be with you today as we are on the second Sunday of Advent. You will recall that the Church begins the liturgical year with Advent, not at the new year of the calendar year, but rather with this season of Advent, the season of preparation. And last Sunday, we read the Gospel of the Last Judgment, the Juicio Final. And we were contemplating how wise our Holy Mother the Church is, who knows that what is last in the order of execution is first in the order of intention. What does that mean? Before we start to build a house, we start with a complete design of how everything will look. We start with the end in mind before we begin, antes de comenzar la obra, before we begin the work. And so, the Church asks us to think, and last Sunday we contemplated, that he will come again to judge the living and the dead, that we have one end in this life, which is to save our soul and glorify God. Everything else passes away. And so, the Church, having placed this, and the Scriptures tell us, in all of your actions, remember your last end, and you shall not sin. En todas tus acciones, acuérdate de tu fin, y no pecarás jamás. For always thinking about the goal, we're never going to take a detour. Nunca nos desviaremos. And so, on this second Sunday, what does the Church place before us? The second foundation, let's say, in our spiritual life. And he asks us, now, what is it that we seek? ¿A qué pretendemos? ¿Qué buscamos? And so our Lord asks the disciples. St. John obviously knows our Lord, but he sends his disciples to ask him questions so that they start to follow him. As he said, I must decrease and he must increase. And our Lord asks them what they're looking for. Okay? Do you want a Messiah? Do you need a Savior? in less than 3 weeks, our Lord is going to come. And recall that in his first coming, very few received him. They had no room in their houses because they didn't make room for a Savior, because they weren't convinced of their sins or their need of their spiritual poverty and that they needed a Savior. They were filled with other attachments. They didn't have room to make God the center of their life, to love him with their whole heart and soul. So we ask ourselves, do we want a Savior? And what do we want in a Christ, in a Messiah? Because we see our Lord asks them, first of all, if they want a reed shaken by the wind. Una caña agitada por el viento. What does that mean? That we want a Christ, a Savior, but one that adjusts according to the wind of the fashion, the moda, according to the day. No? That they want a Lord, a Christ, and a church which is always in keeping with the fashion of the day, that conforms itself to human opinion, that bends with the wind of the world. Or he asks if they're looking for an effeminate Messiah, okay? If they want one in fine garments, que visten de con molicie, dice el Evangelio en español, that de ropa fina, suave. If they want a Christ that's only going to make their life more comfortable, okay? That will give them power and health and wealth, and so that they never have to suffer. And that you can feel at peace if you just practice a little self-centering in your yoga stretches every day, and you know, you'll feel so comfortable knowing that you're in tune with yourself and that God and you are one and the same, okay? Many are looking for that. A soft life without the cross. A Christ without the cross. Or, he mentions, a prophet. So what kind of prophet? Just a future teller. Tell me my future so I don't have to worry. The thing that, how many people does that consume in this life? Las preocupaciones del futuro. Thinking about things they can control. If I just knew how the future would be, then I would be at peace. And they want that instead of actually trusting with their whole heart in God's divine providence as our loving Father. And so what do we hope for? What should we hope for? St. Paul tells us, the God of hope. The God of hope. Okay, so what is the basis of our spiritual life and our relationship with God? By our baptism, we become partakers of the divine nature. Participes de la naturaleza divina, dice San Pedro Apostol. And by that participation in the divine nature, God dwells within us and he fills us with divine powers in our soul. Perhaps you didn't know that you are filled with divine supernatural gifts. You are capable of supernatural acts. What am I referring to? First and foremost, the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. We say they're theological because they touch Theos, himself. They put us in direct contact with God. And what is hope? Save that virtue by which we tend towards heaven. We tend, we aspire to the possession of God himself, which is only made possible by his divine grace. Okay? We seek God, but depending on the help of his divine grace. And so, the church, in the second Sunday of Advent, second step in the spiritual life, asks us what it is we seek, and that our first desire, that we should live this life, as St. Ignatius tells us, that we should use all things sobre la faz de la tierra, on the face of the earth, so as to attain this one end, ad maiorem Dei gloria, in the salvation of our soul. And what is the first step, humanly speaking? Paradoxically, it is despair. That hope begins with despair. Am I speaking in strange paradoxes just to confuse you so early in the morning? No. Rather, despair of oneself. Because how can we hope? How can we, como nos atrevemos? How can we dare to aim to possess God himself in heaven? This doesn't correspond to us. We can only do it, and there's no way we can reach it. The Lord told us, sin me no podes nada. Without me, you can do nothing. Not that it'll be difficult, but nothing. There's no way we're getting to heaven just relying on our own human power. And so, we have to distinguish. Let's get rid of false notions of hope, because many in the world think of hope as, you know, the power of positive thinking and optimism that, you know, every day things are getting better as we march forward towards the omega point of the climax of human civilization. Our Lord doesn't paint such a pretty picture. He says, when the Son of Man comes, do you think he will find faith on the earth? Cuando viene el Hijo del Hombre, ¿acaso hallará fe en la tierra? Implying no, that he won't. And so, he doesn't paint an optimistic climax of human development, but rather the end of it. And this is it was G.K. Chesterton, the famous literario, who said that as Catholics, we are neither optimists nor pessimists. That an optimist is a happy idiot, and the pessimist is a sad idiot, but they're both not so smart because they start with what they want to believe. As Catholics, we start with truth, the truth as it is, which begins with a recognition of our own misery and nothingness. And we put all of our hope in the promise of God, not in our own human effort. And so that's the key to hope, and it's actually a dogma of our faith. That the Church is defined against the Pelagians and semi-Pelagians. The following canon defined dogmatically by the Church says, if anyone asserts that without the grace of God, mercy is divinely given to us when we believe, will, desire, try, labor, pray, watch, study, seek, ask, urge, but does not confess that through the infusion and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in us, it is brought about that we believe, wish, or are able to do all these things as we ought, and does not join either to human humility or obedience the help of grace, nor agree that it is the gift of his grace that by which we are obedient and humble, opposes the apostle who says, what have you that you have not received? Que tenéis que no habéis recibido. And by the grace of God, I am that which I am. It is God who works in us both to will and to accomplish according to his good will. Que es Dios que obra en nosotros tanto al querer como al hacer según su beneplácito. And so, that needs to be the foundation, this dogmatic truth. If we deny this, we're heretics, okay? But practically speaking, this is the key to growing in humility and trust of God. Because then, instead of standing in despair, well then, hey, if it depends on God, then que me mueva Dios, I'll just sit here on my bed and wait for God to move me to do something. No. Rather, we should strive with all of our power, but with this attitude. The Church says, she adds, the assistance of God, al auxilio de Dios, ought to be implored always, even by those who have been reborn and have been healed, that they may arrive at a good end or may be able to continue in good work. That we should always be imploring God that he help us along the way. It's not enough that, oh yeah, I got the grace, I'm ready to go, just tell me what to do. That's semi-Pelagianism, that's a heresy, okay? It's God who's at work within us both to will and to accomplish, to bring it about, para llevar a cabo la buena obra. Okay? And so, we are instruments of God. And this is what we're contemplating in this message of divine hope. And that our Lord, what does he tell the disciples first? He says, he's helping them to conclude that he's the Savior. Saying, okay, the blind see, the lame walk, the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's to whom the buena nueva, the good news, is addressed. And we ask ourselves, do we identify ourselves as blind, lame, poor, ciegos, cojos, pobres? If we don't, we don't need a savior. Okay, that's who he's coming to save. And so do we recognize that we're blind, that our human opinion is an absolute, that we believe everything that God has revealed and that the Church proposes as divinely revealed. And that if our opinion is contrary, we're wrong. Do we identify as lame, that by our human effort we can't get to heaven? As poor, that we are miserable sinners? Okay? That's the first step in growing in hope. And so, that we should be, therefore, happy to suffer, to not look for our security in a prophet, in an effeminate Messiah who's going to make everything nice and easy for us. Okay? But that's going that he will be our strength. What does St. Paul say? When I am weak, then I am strong. Cuando soy débil, luego soy fuerte. Me gloriaré en mis debilidades. I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. Okay? And this is the little way to heaven. This is what Santa Teresita, del Niño Jesús, of the child Jesus, teaches us par excellence. She says, I know well, because our Lord told us, Amen, Amen, I say to you, he swears, unless you become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Si no os convertís a ser como niños pequeños, no podréis entrar en el reino de los cielos. And Saint Therese would say, I know well that it is not my great desires that please God in my little soul. What he likes to see is the way I love my littleness and my poverty. It is my blind hope in his mercy. This is my only treasure. The weaker one is, without desires or virtues, the more ready one is for the operations of this consuming and transforming love. God rejoices, se regocija, more in what he can do in a soul humbly resigned to its poverty than in the creation of millions of suns and the vast stretch of the heavens, que crear al sol y a los cielos. And she adds, these are those who will glory in the last day, who will not hide their head at the coming of the just judge, as they have attained his mercy because they confessed their sinfulness and misery. And so, again, last Sunday, final judgment. It probably scared us, okay? And if you haven't been scared yet, scare yourself, okay? So that you avoid hell. Please listen in Spanish. They have the sermon, del Corte de Ars, sobre el juicio final. Así de audio, ¿no? Y es fortísimo, ese sermón. So to listen, to read the Curia of Ars comments on the last judgment, okay? This should leave us with trembling, a holy trembling and fear. As the scripture tells us, work out your salvation, con temor y temblor, with fear and trembling. And so we should, but the second step is then to despair of ourselves and put all of our hope in his mercy, to do everything relying on the help of God, okay? And this same, what St. Therese proposes to us, it was that most valiant Pope, St. Pius X, so strong and courageous in fighting, combating errors. It was he who called Santa Teresita the greatest saint of modern times. And why? Because we can all imitate her. She said when she was young one time, she saw demons, but the demons ran away from her. The demons, the cobardes, they're cowards. And if they know that Dios Omnipotente, that the God Almighty is on our side, they fear us, okay? If we are founded in this true hope and confidence in God. And she says, I tell you that it is enough to recognize one's nothingness and to abandon oneself like a child in the arms of God. We can never have enough confidence in God, who is so good, so powerful, so merciful. Hope is a theological virtue. There's no measure. There's no mean. There's no hay medida. It has God for its object. You can't hope too much. Okay? And so, at the end of her life, when she was dying with so many sufferings, and they asked her if she was humble, she says, I don't know. All I know is I've always sought the truth, that humility is truth, as Santa Teresa La Grande, Santa Teresa de Avila taught her, that humility is truth. She says, I have always sought the truth, and she always knew that she was nothing. And she says, she ends saying, I know what it means to count on his mercy. Yo sé lo que es confiar en su misericordia. So may this be the beginning of our new spiritual life in this holy season of Advent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Maria, Madre de Gracia, Madre de Misericordia.